Well, do please be seated. And I wonder if you could find, or you might find it helpful to find, let's say, Revelation chapter 3, which is page 244 of the church Bible. And we're going to be looking at the letter to the church in Philadelphia, that great home of cream cheese and brotherly love. And of course, the promise with each of these letters to the churches that we've been thinking about over the last few weeks, this is Jesus speaking to a church 2,000 years ago, but finishing with the words, anyone who has an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches today. So it's a message to a church in the past, but as we listen in to what Jesus has to say to them, it might be that we hear something that he's saying to us today. So let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a speaking God, and we pray that we would hear the message that you have for us today as we listen into these words to the church in Philadelphia. Amen. Well, let me tell you that burning cakes was the least of Alfred the Great's worries back in 878 AD. The king who once stood a fighting chance of beating the Vikings was on the run, hiding out in the marshes of the Somerset Levels with a tiny ragtag band of his followers. Now, they weren't much, these followers, but Alfred was delighted by their commitment to him. They followed him wherever he was leading. They obeyed him. They lived with him as their king, even when so many others, including former friends, had long since decided that Alfred wasn't worth taking seriously. They rejected him. These followers, they stuck with him even when everyone else said they were on the wrong side of history. The Vikings were in charge now, was the message. Get with the program. Mercia has gone. Northumberland, that's Viking as well, and so is London. The Anglo-Saxons, they're finished. On their way out, no one believes in Alfred anymore, people said. It was clear to Alfred that his followers, so committed, were exhausted and needed a strong dose of encouragement. And something like that, encouragement to faithful followers, is what the letter to the Philadelphians is. There's a message here to committed but tired Christians. Perhaps that's you, and it's a word of encouragement. Keep on going, says Jesus. There's a message here to Christians who've struggled to be committed. Perhaps that's you. Or to those who aren't yet Christians, a vision of the blessing on offer if you stick with Jesus Christ. That's the big message from this letter. Stick with Jesus. Stick with Jesus and the door will be opened for you. Stick with Jesus and you will be firmly established in his kingdom. Stick with Jesus. Jesus says this in verse 8, I know your works. Look, I've set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you've kept my word and have not denied my name. These are Christians who are under pressure. Maybe they're not persecuted. Maybe no one's threatening them with violence, but they certainly feel out of place. So they're made to feel like they're on the wrong side of history. So they're made to feel very small and insignificant by the surrounding culture. So they're tempted to chuck in the towel. Well, Jesus says, stick with me. You might feel small and insignificant, but stay with me. Stay with me. It might be hard. You might be feeling exhausted, but stay with me. Jesus says, stick with him. If you were here last week, there was a challenge to older Christians, perhaps those who've been following Jesus for decades. And Jesus said to them, I have not found your works complete, finished in the sight of my God. In other words, you can't retire from being a Christian. And maybe if you're an older Christian, that thought exhausted you. Well, Jesus says to you today, just keep going. Keep going, because if you stick with me, the door will be opened to you. If you stick with Jesus, if you hold on to Jesus, there'll be nothing that holds you back, he says. The door will be opened for you. Nothing terrifies me more than the idea of going on a motorbike. So I'm fairly clumsy on a just a regular road bike. Every year I have a couple of accidents, some not too bad, some pretty serious. And so the thought of, you know, I'm clumsy on a 20 mile an hour vehicle. The thought of being on a 60 or 70 mile an hour similar vehicle is pretty frightening to me. I guess the only way you'd get me on the back of a motorbike is if somebody really experienced was sitting in front of me and I could cling to their waist for dear life. Of course, they would take you where you need to go and probably keep you very, very safe. Well, that's the picture that's being offered to us here. Stick with Jesus. Nothing will hold you back, says Jesus. If you're holding on to me, stick with me and the door will be open for you. These are the words he says of the Holy One, the true one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Look, set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. If you stick with Jesus, a door will be held open for you. Now, I don't know if you've been following the recent conversations about the inherent sexism of holding the door open for somebody else, particularly obviously a man holding the door open for a woman. It was once a polite thing to do. It is now what they call a microaggression. You come across that word? A microaggression is something you think is nice, but the other person perceives to be patronising or insulting in some sort of way. It's no longer in fashion holding the door open for somebody of the opposite sex. I discovered this recently. I was trying to be polite to Kelly the other day by holding the car door open for her and gently encouraging her to go through it. And her reaction, she was so angry, I couldn't believe it. I was quite taken aback. On reflection, perhaps I should have stopped the car first. Jesus says, stick with me and the door will be held open for you. What on earth does he mean by saying that? Well, he's picking up on an Old Testament image here, taken from the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah talked about how the high priest, God's chosen representative, the one person who could mediate between human beings and God, would hold the key of David, the key to David's palace, if you like, King David's rule and authority. So this key is a symbol of power, of rule and authority. And Jesus says here, your life is under his authority. Your life is under the rule and authority of Jesus Christ, who opens and no one can shut. And it will always be so. You might not be able to see that now, but one day, if you hold fast, you'll see how it has always been the case. How God has been working in you, even through the toughest times of life, holding an open door before you. In time, you'll see those who most vehemently oppose Jesus' work in you come around, whether in anguish or in joy. That's what Jesus means there as he talks about the synagogue of Satan. So often, opposition to Christians comes from people who see themselves as righteous, as religious, as doing God's will. That's true throughout the world, as where Christians are persecuted, but you'll find it's true for you as well. Often those who are most fiercely opposed to what Jesus is about are those who would call themselves godly, call themselves religious. And this isn't about revenge. This is about the truth that one day everyone will see the truth. Everyone will know of the love and mercy of Jesus Christ, whether that's in great joy or in real anguish. If you stick with Jesus, you might not see it now, and people will be glad to tell you otherwise, but you are on the right side of history because Jesus holds the key to life and death. Jesus Christ holds the key to power and authority. And if you stick with Jesus, the door will be held open for you and you'll be firmly established in Jesus' kingdom. Jesus goes on to say, I'm coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may seize your crown. If you conquer, Jesus' way of saying, if you stand firm in the Christian life, if you don't give up, if you persevere as a Christian, if you conquer, he says, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. You'll never go out of it. I will write on you the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem that comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Stick with Jesus and you'll be firmly established in God's kingdom. The picture there that he uses of a pillar in a temple. Now, none of our church buildings in this benefice have got, well, any one of them has got any pillars, and that's All Saints in Thorny Hill. And to be honest, the pillars, they're beautiful, Portland stone or something like that, but they're a bit of a curse because they're so huge that you can't really sit anywhere you like in the church building because you can't see what's going on necessarily. People who go there regularly describe them as being radiators of cold. And they seem to soak up all the coldness of being on top of Thorny Hill. And as you sit there trying to listen in at church, they radiate bone-chilling cold. So that's a good idea, never to sit that close to them. But I could just imagine the response I'd get if I suggested at a PCC meeting, at a church council meeting, let's get rid of these pillars. Not just that they're grade one listed or something like that, or they're made of nice sand. Of course, the whole building would collapse without those pillars. They are integral to the building. There's no All Saints Church building without those pillars. And you know, that's the picture that Jesus gives us of ourselves. If we cling to him, if we stick with him through thick and thin, you'll be firmly established in Jesus' kingdom. As the Artful Dodger sang to Oliver Twist, and I won't try and sing it, and I won't try and do the accent, but consider yourself at home, consider yourself part of the furniture we've taken to you so strong. Well, Jesus Christ is taken with you so strong, and always has been, and always will be. If you cling to him, he'll never let you down. Maybe one day you'll see how that has been the case over many years in your life. Now the door has been held open to you. Stick with Jesus, and you'll be firmly established in his kingdom. He says to you, nothing will hold you back if you're holding on to me. Stick with Jesus and you'll be firmly established in his kingdom. How when you've got a possession, you write your name on it to show that it belongs to you. Our church resource centre is full of different tubs that say God's Own and God's Play and Young Church and all the different groups that we've got. They've all got their own, I don't know why this is the case, they've got their own set of pens clearly labelled as to who they belong to. Well, Jesus says if we trust in him, it's as though his name is written on us. We're his precious, prized possession, and no one can ever change that. No one can ever change that. No one can ever steal the crown of life from your hands. If you stick with Jesus, he says, stick with Jesus and the door will be held open for you, and you'll be firmly established in his kingdom. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches.